The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and the Rona has finally come to the Texans. And a lot of other fun stuff today. Let's do it. To What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. You will make him feel special. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And you can watch us on Twitch. Comment there. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, Twitch, put odds on it. Hoffman, what are the odds we could do an entire segment on what a great coaching decision it was to leave Lonnie Johnson at safety and not move him to corner?
I would not want to do that.
I was listening to the competition on the way in. Just trying to figure out what content do you come up with when the team is 1-6? That was it. So, and your Texans have a Rona.
Well, yeah, but we don't know who.
Max Sharping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which we knew it wasn't a defensive player because they don't get close enough to the other
right.
players.
Right, they would have to come in contact with someone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's big news. The Rockets, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Rockets are finalizing a deal with a new head coach. Dallas Mavericks assistant Steven Silas. So there's your big splash. I do want to say I predicted a while back that their new coach would be a young black guy.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I said that on this show, on these very airwaves. I said they will hire a young black head coach. Steven Silas, young black man. And now, according to Woj, the new head coach of your Houston Rockets. So this essentially seems like a way to save some money.
Yeah, although I heard good things and read a lot of good things about him from the beginning that he would make a good head coach, but I mean, who knows? I mean, it's basically Harden's team, so unless you're going to find some way to work around that.
I want to, and this may be, I don't know if this will be frowned upon or what. This is how I'm going to judge Steven Silas at first look. Like, you know, when you think about, like, I'll just give you Jay Wright as an example.
Okay.
What's the first thing you think of when you think of Jay Wright? The Villanova head coach.
Defense, I guess.
Okay. You know what I think of? I think, damn, that guy's always wearing nice suits. He always looks sharp.
Yeah, a lot of basketball coaches do that, though. So it doesn't really stand out to me.
You know who doesn't? Steven Silas, like, it looks like he gets his clothes off the rack. They're all way too big. Just type in Steven Silas into Twitter. S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Silas, S-I-L-A-S. And just scroll through the pictures of him that you see. Every suit is, like, two sizes too big. It's like he's a fat guy who lost a bunch of weight but hasn't bought new suits yet.
Well, he looks like he goes about $105 to begin with. They maybe don't make suits that small.
Maybe not.
Even the one with him in like a polo.
I just feel like I'd trust him more if he like had a tailor.
Well, he doesn't have very broad shoulders.
No, but if, so, like, but you can get your suit cut to where it makes it look like you do.
Well, he's got here's one with him wearing a Hornets polo, and it looks like when I get really big, I have to wear an extra large shirt, and I don't have extra large shoulders, so the seam goes further down than my shoulders actually cut. He's wearing a polo that looks like that, but he's not like a fat guy.
Is it the blue polo?
No, the black one.
Okay, I'm seeing one in a blue polo where, like, his
yeah, that, his it's collar, the same color.
His collar is folded
it's
under
the same
itself.
Cut, yeah.
Like, the guy looks sloppy. I can't trust him to coach a basketball team. With James and Russ coming in with all their drip before every game, this guy's going to walk in. He got his suit at, like, I don't even know.
Ross?
We had Dillard's or something, and he's like, hey, guys. They're going to look at him and like, what the? I don't know. I'm with you. I've heard good things about him. I've heard that eventually he's going to be a head coach. I didn't think that's what the Rockets were going to be interested in. But I will say at first look, first glance, I question it because of that. Like if someone walked into a job interview for you, Fred, and they looked all disheveled and crazy, and their suit was three sizes too big, you would be concerned, right?
It would jump out.
Yeah.
But maybe now he can afford to get his suits tailored. Maybe he just couldn't afford it before.
I don't know.
I mean, you're an assistant coach. It's not like the NFL where the assistants are making $1 million a year.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, how long? I mean, his dad is Paul Silas. He's not poor. His dad coached in the league for how long?
276 years.
And played in the league? I mean, yeah, he was a coach from 1980 to 2012. Also a three-time NBA champion, two-time All-Star. That dude had some dough. Like, he could have bought his son a suit for his first day in Dallas. I don't know if Steven Silas is going to be the same coaching style as Paul Silas, but I will say that, like, I remember Paul Silas's guys all saying how great it was playing for him.
Yeah. I said everything I've seen about the guy, when his name kind of popped up early on, I read up on all these guys, and seems like he's one of those up-and-coming guys who everybody thinks is going to be great. So it also seems like an economy hire. Does that sound fair?
That's kind of exactly what it seems like. And this is a guy who's coached LeBron James. Now, he got fired in the middle of a season coaching LeBron James, Paul did, and maybe his dad can give him some advice on how to handle a superstar player. I thought it was going to be a guy who had some skins on the wall.
Well,
I'm okay with this.
I think any of those guys that were being thrown out there are just retreads.
Yeah.
And at some point, you got to go,
let's see what Steven Silas can do. I'm not opposed to the hire, but it certainly feels like there were budget restraints that were taken into consideration. That's all.
And if I were...
And I don't trust the cut of his suit.
Okay. Well, and that's okay. You're certainly entitled to think that. I think maybe it's because he's a genius.
Oh, now that could be.
Because geniuses don't pay any attention to their clothes for the most part. Or
that's
like
possible.
Some of them have the same suit in their... everything they have is the same suit, so they don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
That's what geniuses do.
Daniel says he should link up with the Raheel and get him an Indochino.
That's pretty good.
I actually went down and got fitted for an Indochino suit, and it was like, I mean, they're like $500, and it's completely custom tailored. So you would think it's like a $2,000 suit, but really it was $500. I think even the assistant coach for the Mavericks could have afforded that, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the genius theory.
Okay.
I don't like to think about what I wear.
That makes sense.
And you know, so which... My clothes don't fit right. Nobody cares because they don't look. So
yeah, but you're not like, you're not a guy that people look up to.
No, that's true. But I am a genius. So, at least in my mind,
right?
I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna go with he's a genius.
Okay. I mean, it's entirely possible. We'll talk about that over the course of the day. But we've got a couple guests on the show today that I am very excited about. One at 4:30, Mike Boudet will be here. And if you say, well, who the hell's Mike Boudet? Well, that's okay. He's not a sports guy. He is a podcast creator, and he creates my favorite podcast in the whole wide world, which is called Sword and Scale. And I want to get him in here and talk a little bit about the podcast and talk about, what goes into making it. And if it you know, kind of creeps him out sometimes that he's like to be, I guess when your life is just drowned in this, it's, it feels like it's got to be a little bit weird, but I want to talk to him about that. And then at, when we decide we're going to run that Spike interview, 5:15?
5:15.
At 5:15, I talked earlier today with Spike Cohen, who is the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party. They're third in the polls, Fred. So if
they're top three,
they're top three in the polls.
Yeah,
so
I still don't understand why you keep backing these guys when you're saying the Cowboys should trade all their players because they have no chance to win the Super Bowl. These guys have no chance to win the Super Bowl, but
well, because I'm still playing for the future the way the Cowboys should be. But yeah, we'll talk to Spike Cohen, and I thought it was a really interesting conversation. He kind of breaks down some of the policies and the platforms of libertarians and kind of relates it to the everyman. And if you're a person who's undecided in the way you want to vote, then maybe he can change your mind. How do you think he did, Aaron? Was he an interesting guest?
Oh, yeah. He's very eloquent, very well-spoken. He knows how... I mean, we talked about this afterwards. He's a broadcaster, so he knows how to speak to begin with. But he also has that knack of how when politicians are captivating when they talk, he starts talking, and you find yourself listening even though you're going, yeah, like even if you weren't trying to listen, you end up drawn in.
You're
going
in.
Okay.
Well, and his name is Spike.
It is Spike.
Which I think is
he
cool.
He would be the first vice president in the history of the United States to be named Spike.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're ready for that, America.
And the sword and scale thing, I started listening to when we were going to the airport. You always played it when we go to the airport. And I've really gotten into it. I mean, I haven't heard him. I'm way behind, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think I've listened to five an hour or six, maybe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, there's like 200 something now.
I know. I kind of went back and I listened to the ones that after I saw the Netflix specials on him.
Okay.
But just to see how far ahead he was on stuff. But yeah, I'll get caught up at some point. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And today's a very special day for Aaron Rabel. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, it's your birthday? I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't have Facebook, so I don't know when anybody's birthday is.
Yeah,
that is the one thing I will say I miss about Facebook is obligatory birthday wishes. Like there's some people, and Aaron is one of those people in my life. He's someone I work with 5 days a week. I probably should know his birthday, but the truth is I'm never going to learn it. So
that doesn't bother me.
Facebook would help me in that regard, and I would, you know, I'd have an idea of when people's birthdays were.
I don't do much on Facebook either, but fortunately, the wife always tells me.
That's very nice of her.
Yeah, she says, hey, I got the last two 2020 Pumpkinators at Specs downtown, so I gave him one of those.
Okay.
So technically, technically, you know, you could say you got the last one. I got the next to last one, and you got the last one. That makes it sound even more special.
It was very special because I went to two different HEBs and a Specs over the weekend looking for it, and they were like, yeah, they went within like 5 hours. I was like, even the regular? Yep, the regular too. Damn. So
yeah, well, they had some in the back, and they brought that out there. And when I went and asked the guy, he said, I think there's three left, and there were two. So I went and snagged them both.
Well, thank you very much for that, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And well, now, yeah, I mean, you could have told me. I could have gotten Aaron a present.
I should have thought of it, but I...
Yeah, your wife tells you, you don't tell me? Thanks.
That's true. Because really, the only people I need to know besides you are Aaron and Tyler. Well, Brandon. Yeah. David Gow.
A couple people around here. Michael
Todd,
Carroll.
Todd. Laura, I always get her something. Yep.
Just saying, you kind of dropped the
ball. Yeah, okay. I mean, that's partially on me. So if I know that that's part of my duties now, I'll be happy to start doing it. I'll just let you know. Man, can I don't know, not really bitch, but why is it that everybody is shut down for the Rona except when we decide that there are other things more important? Like, oh, protests? Yeah, forget the Rona. Oh, Dodgers win a championship? Forget the Rona. Let's all just go outside and party. Oh, I'm positive for the COVID. Let's get on the field with my teammates without a mask.
Yeah, not a great look. Yeah. Did you watch the game last night? Were you?
I watched when they inexplicably took out Snell, and then I'm like, okay, I've had enough of this. Because managers, we talk about this all the time. They don't have much of an impact. Managers can't win games for you, but they can be dumb enough to lose them, as we saw AJ Hinch do, and as we saw last night. I mean, and I, you know, if you're just going purely by analytics, then shame on you. Because that guy was dealing. You make them start hitting him. And 75 pitches, really? And then you let the Dodgers win. You let L.A. get another championship.
Yeah.
An undeserved city. A city that doesn't deserve it. A city that's going to go out and burn itself up because they won. And, you know, I mean, it just nice job, buddy. And I was rooting for them, clearly, because I don't want to see L.A. win anything else. But... yeah, you choked it, bud. Congratulations. I always says coaches can choke too. Managers can choke too.
Well, they certainly did last night. And, you know, John Smoltz was saying before it even happened, at some point tonight, they're going to pull Blake Snell from this game. And there's going to be people who are upset and don't understand it. And I'm telling you now, the mental stress of pitching these big innings, it can wear on you. But it's like, dude, he wasn't stressing. Everything was going his way. And even when it didn't, the ball that got that got hit in that inning, the hit who was it? It was Barnes got that hit, Austin Barnes. It's like a broken bat nubber over the second base bag. And then you come take the ball from him? It's crazy to me. And I get that this is how they've done it. You know, that's how they got where they are. But in those moments, to me, it should be when, and it's not with every guy, you know, if you've got Ryan Yarbrough out there starting game six and you're up 1-0 and there's a sign of trouble, okay, go get him. But this team that's got really three legitimate ace starting pitchers on their team, if it's one of those three guys, let them go and win or lose with your best guy on the mound. And if you lose, hey,
at least let him get himself in real trouble.
Right.
If you're going to make that call, I mean, I can at least see you defending that.
Here's the other thing. Guess who was on deck? Mookie Betts. Guess what Mookie Betts had done against Blake Snell in this series? 0-for-4 with 3 Ks.
Well, I don't want to let him see him a third time.
Why? He's already struck him out twice. Mookie Betts doesn't want to see him a third time. I mean, I guess, and maybe I'm an, I, and I don't, I, it's funny, I don't think I'm like an old school guy. It's just really simple. Unless things start to get out of control, I want my best guy out there with the baseball. It's just simple. And it's the same. It's really in every sport. Like, if you're, I'm trying to put it into perspective. Like, if you're up 7-0, would you ever pull your quarterback out of the game? Why? Why would you do that? What sense would that make? It doesn't help you. Your backup quarterback isn't better. Nick Anderson isn't better than Blake Snell, the guy you were going to. He's not. What would you pinch hit for your best hitter in a key moment?
Oh, if the analytics said so, AJ.
I mean, why didn't the Dodgers pinch hit for Mookie Betts then? He was 0-2.
Yeah, but that was against Snell.
Seager, I think Betts said it. Bellinger said it. The second we saw him walking out there to grab the ball, we knew we were in business, and we knew this was over.
It was a gift. Betts, Seager, Turner, the next three guys up that inning, and it didn't end up being Turner because he COVIDed out that inning, they were 0-6 with 6 strikeouts in the game. The 1-2-3 hitters, he'd struck out 6 times. Well, broken bat number over second base.
Mm.
Better go get him because the computer box says we should. It's just not, it's not smart. And you can't, no matter what you say, and it's, I say this thing about the Rockets all the time with, like, why is it the Rockets, who are a below average 3-point shooting team, how does it analytically make sense for them to shoot more threes than any other team? Now, if you were, you know, the 2018 Warriors and you shot the most 3-pointers, well, I'd get that. You've got the 2 best shooters in the whole wide entire planet on your team, so you shoot the most threes. That makes sense. But if you're a subpar 3-point shooting team, it doesn't make sense to me that you would shoot the most 3-pointers. There's some things that people will say, well, the analytics say it works here, that I'll never understand. Their analytics say you go for 2 if you're up 7. Or what? When? What analytics said that?
Yeah, well, that wasn't analytics.
What computer?
That wasn't an analytic decision. That was a, my team sucks, I have nothing to lose, go for it decision.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but
yeah, I don't always understand. I guess I just don't understand how, like, there's got to be analytics. I understand the thought process to them, but there's also, as a manager, I mean, otherwise we'll just have a robot manager. Nobody needs that. At some point, the manager's job is to have a feel for the game. And Kevin Cash was the only person in the whole world who, at that moment, felt like Nick Anderson gave him a better chance to win than Blake Snell. He was the only person in the world, including Mookie Betts. Probably Nick Anderson, too.
You know, I'd like to, if we could get, I know we probably couldn't, if we could get James Click on, to ask him, hey, nice you were in that organization. What in the hell are they depending on?
But he's not going to say.
He wouldn't. But well, Kevin's a brilliant guy. I would love to find out.
And, of course, Hockley Dan, Fred, the analytics say the third marriage always ends in divorce. You're doomed. The computer box says my reliable car is over 100,000 miles. Better go drive it into a lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully, I haven't seen him, but
he tweeted out a picture out from outside with the giant logo.
All right, then, baby. We got Mike Boudet of Sword and Scale on next. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And I'm excited about this because AJ was listening to you for a long time, and I kind of got introduced when we were, like, I'd always ride with him to the airport and we'd fly out to go to the fights or something, and he'd have your podcast on. And I started listening, and I'm like, hey, man, this is some good stuff. And you really dive into some things. And now Netflix is basically just following you around and doing all your stories now.
It seems like they are, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they've covered like three or four of our stories, the ones we've covered on Sword and Scale, and done these long piece docu-series on them. And it's kind of interesting because we're not getting a penny of that.
Yeah, you were, well, you didn't do the crime. That's the thing.
Yeah,
they're doing the same thing you did. I'm guessing like Luca is probably sitting back going, "How come I'm not?" Luca Magnotta saying, "How come I'm not getting any money for this?"
Well, we were actually I was in their studios pitching my TV show not that long ago, which makes it more of an insult of it, but. But yeah, they turned us down for our TV show, but they still, I'm pretty sure they still listen.
Yeah, they'll still take your episodes here and there.
So, hey, let's go make a TV show out of this guy.
So, I mean, and obviously that the Don't F with Cats that Netflix did, that's one of Netflix's biggest hits, especially during the pandemic, like right there after Tiger King. It probably was their biggest hit of the like stay at home phase of things.
Yeah,
was that one of the crazier stories that you've done? Because to me, that's just it's an unreal crime.
Yeah, that was literally, I think, the most of a roller coaster we ever did. It was I remember it was the first episode, two-parter we ever did, and first two-parter in season two. And it went so deep and so crazy because it wasn't just about Luca Magnotta and his crimes. We took it to another level where we just started talking about how that transformed into like sort of an internet phenomenon with the reaction videos. That was a time in history, in internet history, where reaction videos were very, very popular and people would film themselves watching Luca Magnotta literally dismember a human being on video.
Crazy stuff.
It's just the thought of that is just insane to me. But then the fact that he decided to broadcast it out there, and then the way he gets caught is going back to see people talking about what he had done. Like, he goes into the internet cafe to like basically check, see what his clout's at right now.
Yeah. He was a ham. He loved the attention. He loved the publicity. And he loved the notoriety when he couldn't get the publicity. So he would do anything for attention and including what he first started with, which is what inspired the name of the show, the Netflix show called Don't F with Cats. He started murdering little kittens and things and puppies on video.
Well, yeah, that's what tough guys do. That's what they do. Mike, you report on so many of these crazy ass stories, and I feel like for me, I work in sports, so sometimes I become just numb to anything sports. Like it's just sometimes I don't even like sports that much.
Well, I mean, the Houston Texans are
it's a miserable town for it. So when you're constantly inundated with these terrible people and these terrible acts, and you're either reading about them or you're talking about them or you're putting your podcast together, like at some point does your life just have this cloud hanging over it where it's just like, oh my God, there's so much darkness in my life that it's really affecting me?
Well, I drink a lot, AJ.
Okay.
So there's that. But no, I think that it has affected me on a few occasions. There have been a few stories where they've been about kids, let's say, and it's some sort of something really sick. It starts to get under your skin. And I've had to walk away from the show for a week or two and not touch it, not touch anything related to that. And, go watch Disney cartoons or something instead of thinking about it, because it does. It does get under your skin after a while. Luckily, gotten to a place now where we've been doing the show now for 8 years, and we can hire producers to sort of delve really deep into some of these things. So I get one step removed from it, and it doesn't have to be something that I get extensive psychological counseling for.
So when you say you've got producers now, so like are they bringing you a script basically for, because obviously you voice everything.
Yeah.
So you get like the final script that you're reading. But then when you see something crazy, you're like, can you really say, I don't have to go look at that? Like, or do you find yourself going, oh, I've got to see what the hell this is all about?
I end up approving every script and actually rewriting parts of it and doing a lot of it anyway. But early on, I mean, I was spending like 40 to 60 hours per episode. And now at least I don't have to do that. I mean, somebody can watch a trial, which a trial could take like a week or 2 weeks, a murder trial, And it's every day. It's like 8 hours, 10 hours a day for 2 weeks. And step outside of that. And then they could just give me the good parts. And I could go back and look at the interesting things and look at some of the internet videos, whatever there may be. But I don't have to delve into it where it becomes like all I'm thinking about and all I'm doing, because that will give you nightmares.
Like, at what point did you realize that this wasn't just like going to end up being a hobby? Like, at what point did you say, okay, this is taking over my life, but this podcast is like, it's gaining enough traction that I have to get really serious about it?
Well, I did the show for 2 years, actually 2.5 years first. And I had a job, full-time job. I was making fine money doing that. And it was going to take me to make okay money to get off of there. And 2.5 years, it started to get really kind of nutty in terms of how many people were listening and the attention it was getting. I'm still amazed when people like yourself contacted me, like, you're in real radio.
Yeah.
I'm in fake radio. So it's like, it took that long to even get to the point where I was brave enough to start a Kickstarter to see what was out there. And we didn't meet our number one goal, which was 30 grand, but we got just under that. And that sort of gave me the idea, hey, maybe there's something going on here. And I think around then, that's when Patreon started to get really popular. Mm-hmm. So people could support their favorite podcast or whatever artist they want on a sort of monthly recurring basis. And that's what kicked it all off. We started with that, and it pretty quickly became obvious that I didn't have to go to a 9-to-5 cubicle job anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. And it's funny you said I was in real radio. I used to be very snobbish about this. And people would ask me to come on their podcast, and I would say, I'm not doing a podcast. I'm a real professional broadcaster. And I people would tell me, you should listen to this podcast. And I wouldn't listen to any podcasts. And the podcast that really, the first one that I found was Serial, the first true crime podcast I found, right, which I think a lot of people, it's probably the first one they found. And it's very detailed, and it's one story, and then it's gone. And I think they may have done like 3 or 4 over the course of their whole thing. And then I start to realize, I don't have time. I'm not looking to sit here for 6 hours to hear one story. I need this packaged better.
Right.
So I started on a search for a better one. And I think that I may have come across like a garage or something. Mm-hmm. And it's two dudes talking, and they're telling the story, and it bored the bleep out of me. Yeah. And then I found yours, and it's audio of 911 calls. It's interviews with victims. It's like the presentation of it is so far and away better than any of these other crime podcasts. I think that's really what set you apart. So when you're starting this thing, had you listened to other stuff and said, okay, what can I do to improve on this?
Well, thank you for that. When I started it was actually 9 months before Serial ever started.
Well, it shows what I know.
And at the time, there was literally like almost nothing. There might have been like 2 true crime podcasts. That's it. And they were not good.
Is one of them the Garage Show?
No. Okay. They came around like 2 years after I did, or more than that. But it started with me staying up really late and drinking something like this whiskey you gave me here, and getting really deep in the internet and places you shouldn't be going. And so I started looking at this website that had these audio recordings of planes that had crashed and everyone on board had died. And it was like the flight.
You're a sick dude, Mike.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and we're into the same stuff. Jeez, so what does that say?
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
But it was like the flight recorder of a plane that's crashed and everyone died. And so it's like the last minutes of someone's life. And I was fascinated by this. And I sat there and I listened to every clip on this website. And then I started looking for more websites that night. And I always around that time is when I was kicking around the idea of starting another podcast, because I tried different things and they hadn't worked. They'd been garbage. But it was like, if I'm ever going to do something, it's going to have this level of reality to it. It's going to have this level of weight. Yeah. I want people to feel it, not just be sort of like, okay, this is something I can listen to in the background while doing an Excel spreadsheet. but something that will grasp you and your emotions and your entire being and drag you kicking and screaming into the story. And when I came across a few 911 calls after that, shortly after that, and I realized that I was a huge fan of true crime. I watched all these true crime TV shows, but there was nothing out there. I was like, this is it. This is what I got to do.
Good for you.
And it's been highly successful, and we're in our eighth year, like I said.
You got to get out, or can you hang out for another segment?
I'd love to.
All right. We got to hit a break. We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I got to tell you guys about Texas Star Grill Shop. What's going on right now is the fall grill sale. And if you're like me, the weather's cooling down a bit. Now's the time you want to get out there. You want to smoke your brisket. You want to smoke your ribs. And I'll be honest, I was working on an old pipe casing like barbecue pit before. And it's really hard to do any smoking on something like that. So I went to Texas Star Grill Shop and they were like, well, hey, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? How much work are you willing to put in? They pointed me in the right direction. I got myself a Houston-made Pits and Spits. They've got all the brands, though. Memphis, Traeger, Napoleon, Kamado Joe. They've got it all. And they've got free delivery, free assembly. And they help you out in a lot of the other ways, too. They've got, like, the Akayushi beef, like, fantastic meats that you can't get in an HEB or any of these other places. You're getting them at wholesale prices there. You cannot beat this place. Three locations, one in Katy, one in Spring, one in Houston, a fourth opening up soon. But they're always open online, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, talking a little sword and scale. And we just found out why you wound up in Houston. We're happy to have
you. A chick, obviously.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get us to make you take a mega shot. Listen, this is a guest. This isn't happy hour. Where this guy, like,
is that pickle juice thing?
It's the shot. It's all the disgusting shots that we found blended together. It's a very vile concoction.
it's like inviting somebody over Thanksgiving and kick them into the nuts right when they walk in with a turkey.
What are you trying to do? Run this guy off? It is funny though. Like I saw you tweet out, "I'm gonna be on the Blitz. We're gonna be drinking and talking bleep."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh God, this guy like." After I asked you, I assumed you were going to listen to the show, and your first show you listened to was a Friday show. It was a happy hour. I was like, this is what he thinks the show is.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we're not making you drink bad booze and shotgun Four Loko.
I mean, I thought this was like a sports channel.
Kind of, sometimes is. Yeah.
But we do drink a lot on the show because we have a beer guy on Mondays, and we have happy hour on Fridays. So, I mean, Wednesday gives it a nice balance.
Other guys talk more about sports than us, but sometimes we talk about sports. We talked about a little bit of sports, but then we get tired of it. This is a lifestyle show is the way we like to describe it.
I like it. Sounds good.
So we were talking before about, you know, how you came up with the concept and how it became a job. Yeah. And obviously, you know, you ended up creating the Plus platform, which gives people a way to become more involved with the show, which I've recently started doing is find these extra episodes and things like that. And the perks of getting your episodes are the non-commercial thing.
Yeah.
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
That's the best. I don't care about your cat's piss. Yeah. I don't. I don't. I'm for if you can. The app that you guys created is very cool too, and that's something that I think you should talk about.
We did that because, I don't know if you know or saw what was going on about a year ago, but Patreon, which was the platform, like I said, that we had gotten on, they started banning people just because they didn't like their ideology.
That's kind of what I wanted to get to with you because you are a very controversial figure on the interwebs.
Yeah.
And listen, inherently when you're talking about these stories, it's not like you wrote them. Like this is what happened, and it's you telling the story.
I guess what people don't like is when you interject any kind of personal opinion into the story, even though it's your friggin' show.
Yeah, and even though they listen, these same people listen to other shows, which are all about their personal opinions. It's just not the right personal opinion,
right?
In my opinion,
and you are like the woke culture comes after you a lot. And Josh Ennis, the guy who does the show before us, he hates the woke culture. He's very against it, and because things that would seem normal are no longer normal. So, like, you're a guy who people have come after you about mental health, and like you are not a friend to those who have mental health issues. And it's like, well, I just personally, and maybe you aren't a friend. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing out. I don't feel like that's the case. I just feel like you're against mentally ill people who murder people.
Yeah, I. And I see this.
I am too, though. I am too. Yeah. I don't like that.
We all are.
Look, it's a matter of ideology. And I've thought about this a lot. I think the way that it works is it's the same thing with sort of politics, the capitalist system or the communist system. The capitalist system, you believe that people do things because they're inherently selfish. They're inherently self-centered, and they want to improve their own lives. So they work hard to make money. And that actually improves the life around them and the lives of the people around them. And as the more people do this, the better of a society we live in. Now, it's the same thing if you're talking about something like mental illness on a true crime podcast. If you're lying to people and saying, no, 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 there's no problem here. Everybody's okay. No, just because you have mental illness doesn't mean you're going to commit a murder. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything bad. It's okay. The voices won't say anything bad. Or you could tell the stories as they really happen factually, and it serves as sort of a fable to other people out there that may be in a situation which may spiral out of control at some point when they see all these very obvious signs in front of them, and maybe they can do something about it before that happens.
Before you get in a situation where you're being eaten by somebody on a bus, like that's what everyone's looking to avoid.
Yeah, yeah, Vince Lee, that one's episode 31, I believe.
And that's why I said I don't. I'm not a bus person. I won't ride a bus not just for that reason.
Especially not in Canada.
But I feel like in general, that's what happens on buses. Like, maybe 1 out of 10 times you just get where you were trying to go, and there's nothing happens. But for the most part, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't care much for buses at all. They don't seem to be a very cleanly place to be.
No, not good. How do you decide which stories you're going to do? And is there like a, do you have like a list that you're like, okay, I'm going to get to this later? Or are there some that you just say, you know what, this isn't intriguing enough for me. It's off the table. Like, how do you go through the process of deciding what episodes you're going to do?
We try to, so now, like I said, the process has changed quite a bit since early on. Since, you know, early on I did sort of have, I touched on this, I touched on this, and I had my own little list. Now we have like 6 producers. So they'll actually go out and start looking for stories that have enough, because the way that we tell stories, they have to have enough audio.
Right.
So there has to be audio available in some format. So if they find evidence, whether like a local station report or something like that, that there is some sort of audio or courtroom trial or interrogation or something like that, then we can go ahead and submit requests to get that audio and then tell the story. So they bring in those stories in a pitch format, and you know, there's a bunch of pitches. And for me, it's like, let's not tell the same story over and over and over again. Let's kind of break it up. Let's, you know, maybe this week we'll do a little child murder. Next week we'll do a little domestic violence. You know, I know it sounds horrible, but we try to break it up so that you're not being bombarded by the same sort of repetitive thing over and over and over again. It is, after all, storytelling. Even though these things are horrible and real, they are a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
And they were way before I started doing this.
I mean, just like horror movies or anything else.
True crime TV shows have been around forever and super popular.
Yeah.
So
we were talking the other day, and Fred had a story about the movies, the scariest movies.
Yeah.
And it was like rated people's, how their heart rate reacted to these movies. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about what scares us. And the thing that jumped out to me, of all the things I've heard on your podcast, the thing that scared me the most was Plus episode 1, which is about the little girl who's adopted with her brother And she's just like in this little deadpan voice talking about wanting to kill her brother and her parents. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I guess she gets this psychotherapy and she ends up being living like a normal life. Nothing is scarier to me than a four-year-old kid who somehow has developed an urge to murder people.
Yeah.
That's terrifying to me. Of all the episodes you've done, what to you is like the scariest situation? What freaks you out the most?
Well, that's also why every horror movie has like little babies in the background crying.
Oh, it's awful.
Little kids singing the theme song.
The twin girls on The Shining.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what makes that movie scarier than any. It's not the murdering dad. It's not the blood flowing down the halls. It's two little girls dressed the same in a hallway, just staring just at you. Staring at I mean, you. It's like, what the hell are they doing?
Where are your parents?
Where are your parents? Why are you doing this to me?
For me, I think it's the ones that, because I've had some experience with this, the guy that snaps, that seems completely normal one day, is just nothing to see here, and then one day, just like that, you didn't even see it coming, because I've had a situation with that, like that, with a friend who seemed very like low key, very nice, very polite, and then one day he tried to kill me with a pool cue.
He tried to kill you?
Pretty much. He snapped a pool cue just out of nowhere against the billiard table and threatened me with it, like the sharp end of it that had just been broken.
Was he an advocate for the mentally ill? he's like, why do you hate us?
This was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
But it stuck with me forever because I could have never imagined something like that happening. And after that, me and my other friend, he stormed out. He didn't kill me. But after that, me and my friend are standing there going, what the hell just happened? And to this day, it was just like, who knows?
So we're up against it. Before I let you go, I want to ask you something. It always fascinates me when people follow zero people on Twitter.com.
Yeah.
What does your timeline look like? Is there just nothing there? Like, what is it? Like, do you only see your mentions? Because to me, mentions is the worst part of Twitter.
Yeah. It's surprising how unpoliticized Twitter is when you don't follow anyone.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a wild concept to me. But guys, this is Mike Boudet. You can find him on Twitter at mboudet, B-O-U-D-E-T. Sword and Scale is the podcast. You can find it on Twitter as well. I highly recommend it. I have for years on this program. I've highly recommended your podcast.
Thank you.
It's the only kind of podcast I will listen to involve murder. That's it.
I do murder and aliens. But
I don't care about aliens. I don't care about sports. I don't care about anything except murder. That's what I will listen to people talk about. And
watch this one.
I think I think very highly of your podcast. I think it's the best by far in the category, and I appreciate what you do. I hope you keep doing it, my man.
Thank you very much.
Now,
guys,
are you going to, like, you live here in Houston now?
Yes, I do.
Did you have a poor enough experience here today that you're never going to come back? Or if we have like a really effed up episode, can I hit you up and say, hey, will you come back in here?
I'd love to come back. This is awesome.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Check out the podcast, Sword and Scale. You can find it on iTunes, anywhere like that. And once you do, let me know what you think of it. All you're going to say is, AJ, thank you. You've changed my life. You've made me trust no one ever again. You're welcome. All right, I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance. If you own your home, you probably could use a few extra bucks in your pocket. I own a home, and I was like, you know what? Would more money hurt me? Probably not. So I texted the word money to 232323, and here's what TGS has done. They've already shopped all the home insurance prices in this entire area. So they're going to say, hey, what's your address? You reply back with that, boom. They're going to send you a quote within 15 seconds. All the work's done. And if you're anything like me, I saved over $1,000 a year on my home insurance. What? The average customer saving nearly $900. Graham down the hallway saved $2,600 a year on his homeowner's insurance. Listen, if you are too rich to need that kind of money, okay, don't take the time to send the text. But if you think you could use $900 extra this year, text the word money to 232323. They're going to get you out of your old policy. They'll refund you on that. Boom, get you saving money right away. Text the word money to 232323 for TGS Insurance.
Have you ESPN 97.5.